Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, I did the thing, baby. You relax at the end.
What?
We are live with the flagship podcast. A bit of admin to do. Caught me. Nearly just caught me. Caught me off guard there. We are live with a special flagship podcast. It's Derby Week. And if you've joined us, you're joined in us first here on Patreon. And that's the best place to get all of our content coming up to Derby Week. We have got scouting. We have got tactics and analysis. We have got... Stephen, what have we got? We've got opposition and focus.
We've got the Derby Breakfast. Live, is coming back.
The live breakfast. We're bringing back the Match Companion, live reaction, live watch-alongs. It's all happening on patreon.com/20minutetims. Is exactly the place to get it. Huge match, huge week, Martin Melly.
It's a biggie, the biggest of all big ones. And it's bigger than that, it's large.
It's officially large.
Extra large and in charge. I think it's every time these games come around, it feels like, oh, it's the big one. But this one really feels like it is huge because whoever wins this is going to be very confident they're going to win the league. A draw keeps both sort of in it as well, so it's going to be a big one, and both teams are coming in on decent form as well, so I know the form but obviously goes out the window around this week. But
that's the noise of the form going out the window. Wow.
But like, I'm kind of dreading it but also looking so forward to it as well, so it's good, man. I think Celtic are finally not here this season, but it feels like a Celtic team that can perform. So I'm looking forward to it and seeing how it plays out.
Stephen.
Are we getting that old familiar tingle, are we?
Yep.
And well, the games at the weekend.
Well, you don't want to be too cocky about things, do you? No. You want to sort of keep a lid on it. But I did suspect that after the Motherwell game, Celtic maybe turned a corner and things are starting to click just a wee bit for Celtic. We're starting to look like our old selves again, just at the right time though, Stephen, so it's difficult not to get confident.
So that was a Motherwell comeback then, the kind of late goal from Ida a few weeks ago. Mm. Obviously since then we've had the Hearts game, which kind of derailed things a little bit, but I think we unanimously agreed that that was just one of the mad things that happened, just one of those bizarre occasions where nothing went Celtic's way, including getting a man sent off and all that. But apart from that, Celtic have been pretty good recently, putting together some pretty decent stuff. And Livingston, that posed a problem because we've seen it in the past. We've seen it in the very near past. Well, I think that makes it 3-0 victories away at Livingston in a row. So we've kind of done away with that hoodoo. But even going in, you are worried about it, particularly in terms of Celtic's personnel and all that. When we're coming, getting players back, which we'll come on to because that's going to be so important for this week coming up. But we've got players coming back from injury. You are worried about that pitch. So to have put together some pretty decent stuff in that game ahead of the Derby was a big deal.
I should have asked in our own special way, and Sean Salmon has asked, how's the hail? I should have just started that. Where are the hail levels? A user called G888J has asked us, are you actually live? Yes, we are actually live.
You want us to hold up today's newspaper?
hostage style. I think the Livingston game, as you're saying, it was good because no matter what you think of Livingston, no matter how bad they've been recently, with that pitch, it always presents a bit of a potential banana skin, not just for results, but for injuries. And because we rely on so many key players, Cameron Carter-Vickers for one, Rio Hatate come back from injury another, you're watching that game sort of through your fingers a wee bit, just, right, okay, let's get the result, get through it in that sense, Stephen, but also let's not pick up any injuries. We simply cannot afford any key players to get injured if we stand a chance.
No, definitely not. And look, this week has been massive because it really was about coming through that game, of course, with the 3 points, because if you don't win that game, that your season's off the rails again, and you're basically, your confidence is gone going into what is, I think we say this kind of thing all the time, because that's the nature of a season. The longer it goes on, there are various hurdles in the way. You say that it's the biggest game of the season so far, but there's no get away from the fact that this is the biggest game of the season so far. There's no two ways about it. So when you're heading in towards that, you are worried about your personnel and going in to a game like that against Livingston, where they're big cloggers, they make things difficult for you, and to play in that absolute disgrace of a pitch. I mean, see, before
so bad.
Before the game started, it's that weird shiny way, and it's not. There's no pattern to it. It's all just like bare patches and all that. So it's absolute shambles. But you do worry about your players, particularly with the season that Celtic have had. But coming through this game, it's really only Callum McGregor who may or may not make it for the derby. I don't know if there's mind games going on here. I don't know if there's like a little bit of kind of prop work holding up Callum McGregor as a potential. Other than that, it's only really Lewis Palmer that we're missing just now. And that's the first time we can really say that all season, that we've got no major injuries apart from the obvious with Callum McGregor.
It was Callum McGregor. I think Brendan said he's got a good chance of participating in the game this weekend. We sent our intrepid reporter Lewis up to Lennox Town. He made it to Lennox Town this time, before he's managed to turn up to Celtic back the wrong place. And he asked Brendan, "You know, what do we need to do to start stringing results together in order to win the title?" And I thought it was a very good question. I did ask him to ask Brendan, with things being so tight, could a bad refereeing call decide the way of the title? Which I thought was a fantastic question. But Lewis, you know, he didn't have the stones for it, frankly. But I thought Brendan's answer to Lewis's other very good question, he basically said, in the games we've performed well, we've scored our chances and we've not conceded any, and we need to keep doing that to the end of the season. He didn't offer anything particularly insightful. He just went, we need to score more and stop conceding. Which I suppose, merely coming off the back of the Livingston game, mission accomplished.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, this is what we've been sort of crying out for all season. The late wins have been good, and then the games that have gotten away from us have been terrible. But in between that, there's those routine wins that you see all the time from Celtic, and we haven't even really been doing that this season. The games have either been like the Ross County game where we score in the second minute and then are utterly terrible for the rest of it, or we're winning like the Motherwell game in the last minute, or else we're dropping points. And these routine 2-0, 3-0 wins have just haven't been there for Celtic this season. I think it was just good to get back to that, because I think the first half wasn't great, but when you look back at it in the highlights, it was all Celtic. We just didn't quite finish the chances we had, and in the second half, once we did finish our chance, things just got easier for Celtic. So I think this, having those routine wins again ahead of this game, because I don't think you can go out on that plastic pitch and play brilliantly. Stephen said it, you kind of try to forget about it, and then you get into the stadium or you see it on TV and you go, it's always worse than you remember, always worse than you remember. So getting out there and getting a clean sheet, getting the goals, and also clearly having nobody injured, it was an absolute bonus for us. And to be honest, the game couldn't have went any better.
It seemed fairness that Celtic actually did play some good stuff on it. Yeah. There was that move in the first half that culminated in the wee sort of stab that Kyogo had. He was eventually offside anyway, but he kind of stuck his foot out and he just sort of studded it wide. But the move and the build-up to that was absolutely brilliant. They were positively purring about that in the commentary. It was a great move. So Celtic were, despite the odds, on playing well, and I think Brendan Rodgers has said in the past that he's basically never seen a good game of football on one of these pitches. Despite the odds, you know, Celtic were actually playing some decent football in that. There was a lot of chances created. Their keeper was good as and well, for the most part. And then he let in a bit of a shanner with Matt O'Reilly's goal, right enough. But for the most part, he was good. It was another one of those typical stories where You think, why are these keepers always so good against Celtic? And then like, they're never really as good anywhere else. They tend to shine against Celtic. And we end up signing half of them, Scott Bain and Segrist as
George
well.
Just had a couple of good games against us, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Aye, he seems to be one of Livy's better players.
Yeah.
I think the main talking point for Livy game, though, Melly, was Rio Hatate's comeback.
Yeah, we kind of thought, would they be starting? Because Bernardo done all right recently, but if you can get Hatate in there, I was surprised to see him starting on that pitch, but I think the international break done him the world of good, and there was, I think it's been confirmed that he played a game behind closed doors, so I think getting him in there, and you always worry with Hatate, is he going to take a couple of weeks or a couple of games to get up to speed? But he just seemed like he strolled it pretty much, and you could see the difference the guy makes to Celtic, that creativity, that the way he can just turn on the ball and be in on teams and try and find those passes. As soon as you see him, you go, that's exactly what we've been missing all season, isn't it? You can, with Jota and wingers all changing, you can go, we've got different guys that can do different things, but there's nobody that can do what Hatate does. And he just came in there and got the ball on the turn, and Celtic just looked more creative, more dynamic with him in there. And it's great to see him back. But the question remains, does he start next week? But the performance he's put in, he's shifted, he's done well, he's got minutes in the legs, as they say. It couldn't have went much better for him. He even tried to claim a goal, which is fair enough as well.
Behave yourself. Come on now, Rio. Come on now. I can't believe he claimed that.
The only thing I wanted to see for Rio was, I think the worry about him was, because we all know how good he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good to be reminded of it, don't get me wrong. But I think one of the worries was, right, at the beginning of the season, it did take him a few weeks to get started. It's been up and down for Rio. He sort of struggled a little bit. And you're like, right, is the Rangers game maybe too soon? But as soon as he took to the pitch against Livingston, as Melly said, Steve, you're like, no, wait a minute. This is the Rio we all remember.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised in that way, because prior to the game, on a couple of our various podcasts or various Patreon properties, I was saying that all I'm really interested in from Rio Hatate just now is some kind of run out. I just want to see him on the pitch and get some sort of preparation before the Rangers game, because of what you've just said about how sometimes it takes him a wee while to get up to speed. So I think Celtic, I think they've played this quite well. I think they've probably just held him back a wee bit, made sure his fitness is right up to speed, and so that they can just, it's like a coiled spring, just throw him in there and he's good to go. So that's kind of what it looks like. There was no such, there were no concerns over his stamina that we often get when he's coming back from injury. It maybe takes him a wee while to get up and running, as we've said. But as far as the creativity goes, there's no one quite like it. There's no one who has that range of passing at Celtic. We've got a number of midfielders, and it's going to form a wee bit of a discussion later on, because Brendan's got some headaches going into this game for a change. It's the complete opposite of most of this season. We've actually got options in there, but no one's quite got that thing with Hatate. They're all very, very good players in there. There's Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly. They're all very excellent players, but no one's got that Rio Hatate's got with the range of passing. Yes, he does give the ball away on occasion, right? Once or twice, maybe even three or four times. It will look like he doesn't know what he's doing because he's played some mad pass, right? But as Melly's been saying, we've been bemoaning this lack of creativity from midfield all season. So you can't have that. You can't have creativity without taking risks with the ball. There isn't a single creative midfielder in the world for whom all of the passes come off and they all find their targets. So it's so important to have that in there, because even when you don't have a creative midfielder, and yeah, Matt O'Reilly's a little bit creative, but he's been more the guy who's been finishing off chances this season. He's scored an awful lot more goals. Without that creative midfielder in there, all you're really looking at is crosses. That's kind of your only weapon. You're trying to get to the byline and put crosses in. Dyson's, I was going to say hit and miss, mainly miss with his crosses, and the wingers have been kind of in and out of the team all season. So having that back, it finally just looks like it's a big cliche and all that, but it does look like the final piece of that jigsaw to sort of bring it all together.
You need that blend, don't you? When you've got the three in midfield, Hatate really only gets away with playing the passes he does that don't hit the target when you've got a player like a safe pair of hands back there, like Callum McGregor or like Iwata. Is that allows that? If you've got three Hatates, it's fucking chaos. if you've got three Iwatas, it's boring and it's bland. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you've got three Matt O'Reillys, it's industrious. There's a bit of creativity, but it doesn't really have enough. You need that sort of, just having those two safer options and that little sprinkle, that mercurial spirit that Hatate offers. And me and Melly got into it a couple of weeks ago about, you know, I personally think Rio Hatate is one of the only players that can quickly take the ball on the half turn, open up the whole pitch in front of him and play that pass. You need the other guys in the team to back you up when that pass doesn't quite come off. But I think he's absolutely crucial to everything that Celtic are trying to do, or Celtic need to try and do, if we're going to get any we're going to get any luck at Ibrox. I think, you know, we'll get to the debate about who starts in the Rangers game, but I think seeing that, for me, seeing how he hit the ground running and watching his performance back, I just thought, I don't want to see a Celtic team without the guy.
No, and we've seen that so much this season. What has he played
like, anymore?
Nine league games, so maybe 12, 13 games in total he's played all season. So we've kind of got used to seeing Celtic without him, and it's not good. It's not really what we want to see going forward. Celtic can get the job done. Of course, again, they've got better players than, you know, for the majority of the league, they've got far better players than them, so they will get the job done more often than not. But there's no doubt that Rio Hatate is one of, if not the best player at the club. See, when you see him playing like that, and I know it's only against Livingston, but with all the challenges that Celtic have faced this season, and particularly on a pitch like that, in terms of being able to create things, it really brings into sharp focus just what we've been missing all this time, what Brendan Rodgers has been missing this whole time.
Yeah, and it's like the games like the Kilmarnock game recently, where we drew one each at home, put Rio Hatate into that team and Celtic win that game, don't they? Yeah. It's just that person to unlock the door. And I think that is what we've been missing, especially in the games against teams that we've struggled with at home. You put Rio Hatate in and Celtic probably get the job done before these teams have a chance to equalise, but take him out the team and look, the midfielders are all good in their own right, but there's not that proper blend in there to break down teams. So it's going to be a tough decision for old Brendy boy to make this weekend.
We've been pretty harsh on Nicholas Coon since he joined, I think, but we've discussed the reasons why. We got asked it on the Patreon mailbag episode a couple of weeks ago. But Mel, are you prepared to draw a line under all that's happened and just take Nicholas Coon out at face value based on the performances that we've seen in the last couple of weeks? Particularly, I thought he was quite good against Livy.
Yeah, I thought he was great. And it's, look, I was speaking to Stephen about this on the Breakfast of Champions.
Oh, okay.
You weren't invited, mate. He's in the other group chat we've got. About how I sort of gravitate towards tricky wingers that like to take players on. I love watching guys like that, and Nicholas Coon is that. When you're in a small stadium like Livingston and he gets the ball and he's quite close to the touchline, you can see up close how good he is and how he's dribbling so close to him, and he just takes guys on, and you can see he's going to do that. He does it anyway and gets past him. I think he's great to watch, and I've just got visions of him just tearing Rangers apart. Who he's going to be up against? Is it going to be Barisic? And we've all seen what he can do, Abada can do to him. So I think Coon's going to be crucial for Celtic this weekend because that blend on the two flanks, one that works hard in Maeda and the other one with a bit of quality in Coon. I think we're all desperate for him to be good. And this is what we wanted. This is the guy we thought we were signing. The first few weeks it didn't quite work out like that. But now that he's fit and firing, as they say, I think he looks great. And he's one of those guys that sort of gets you moving in your seat, off your seat, when you're watching him, because you expect something to happen. So Celtic, along with Hatate, we've just not had that at all this season. I've signed a lot of players that are all good at certain things, but none of them are good at making those passes or taking players on. So it's good to see him in the team, and to have it makes like other players better around him, because it means Alistair Johnson can make runs because he goes inside. It means him, Matt O'Reilly, and Alistair Johnson can form a good partnership on that right-hand side. So I think it's going to be crucial for Celtic this weekend, because I think they'll need to defend the other side and attack down this side.
So one, I thought Melly was circling the drain, wasn't he, Stephen, or giving us some more pegging patter?
No,
I thought,
I'm careful.
I thought
days.
It was a bit of a guy. He was like, well, you can see what he's going to do. I thought, Melly's going to talk about pegging.
God, moving around in your seat, I think, was the chat there. Weirdly, wow. I heard a podcast the other day, and someone said it a couple of times, said it more than once. He's the type of player to get you off your feet. And I thought, makes you sit down. That's what getting you off your feet. It's a bit of a strange way to put it. But Coon's been excellent, and with a wee bit more luck, he could have had an extra couple of goals in the last couple of weeks as well. He's been very unlucky. Another really good save from George. So I think just one question really remaining over Coon, because the chat at the time, and yes, we covered extensively his medical situation when he arrived and settling into the country and all that. But there was some chat early on, is he a shite bag? because he was kind of coming across that like that in the first couple of games. And again, you make the allowances for the fact he lost a little bit of weight and was struggling physically. But being thrown into Ibrox, because I firmly believe he has to start, to be honest, with his last few performances, he has to start. I know Yang has been very unlucky here and he's just coming back in as well. Brendan Rodgers has been very, you know, pretty generous in his praise of Yang in recent weeks, but I think it's definitely Kuhn's jersey to lose just now. Is he going to flourish in that environment, or is he a shitebag? One question remaining for me. We'll find out, but he has to play for me. I think he's
what a time to find
on.
Out.
Yeah,
on you, off your thoughts, son.
Are you good or are you a shitebag? Just had a bad game, man.
I know. We're obviously lots to discuss coming up to the Rangers game, but there's a few things that I need to pick up on from the Livingston game. Celtic were great and all that. Some really strong performances. However,
here it comes.
What is going on with VAR?
What? Do the jingle.
VAR. We can't drop it in, so people listening to this will wonder what the F's going on. Listen, I just don't understand it anymore. I saw Rangers get a penalty for the most absurd. I feel like I saw Rangers get a penalty for the most absurd call ever. Just clip that and drop that in every couple of weeks, and then I'll just describe it after it, because I just want to compare and contrast here. So
that's going to be the name of your autobiography, Jamie, in a few years' time.
Sure is. That and, no, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That's it. That's the name of my autobiography. I can't think of anything funny off the top of my head. who were Rangers playing? You've completely thrown
Hibs.
Me off now.
Hibs.
There's a Hibs player going up for a header, as you do, right? And to propel your body upwards, you must swim with your arms, right? To get up there and header it. John Souter misses the ball, comes in underneath the Hibs player and catches an elbow on the top of the head, right? Hibs player's got no idea he's there. John Souter doesn't know if he's in Wimsby or Bombay. He just finds himself in the box. He cracks one on the top of the head. VAR, penalty. And I'm looking at that going...
Clear and obvious, Jamie.
On what planet? On what planet is that even... What has the ref missed there? How's it clear and obvious, as Melly says? Why is he going to the monitor? And why is he awarding a penalty? Because it doesn't stack up. So again, we're looking at freeze frames. We're looking at angles from all over the place. We're looking at minutiae. We're
or not, it as the case forward, may be, coming up.
Fast forward to Livingston. Yeah. A clear penalty in the box. The boy takes out Kyogo before he gets to the ball, before the defender gets the ball. Kyogo's trying to shield it, control it. The boy comes through the back of him, clears him out. Alternative angles show exactly what it is, but it was VAR. Yeah. And it's gone. And you're thinking to yourself, just don't tell me they're no cheating anymore. because it's the only obvious solution is...
We've ruled everything else out now, haven't we?
Yeah, it is... Prove me wrong time, because
as they have ruled everything else out, because John Beaton was given full marks for his assessment in the Hearts game, wasn't it, on VAR, so that was completely right. So he's not incompetent at all, he's a very good ref. These refs are all good, they all get full marks. VAR's only made a couple of mistakes in the however 18 months it's been here, so we need to come up with another solution, because Brendan Rodgers is getting charged for saying they're incompetent, so they're not.
The question is to me, what's the excuse? We can't have this anymore, because we saw it on Sky. We saw the contact. We saw Kyogo get fouled in the box and fall over from the contact. So what's the excuse? It can't be I didn't see it. It can't be I was unsighted. We saw it. So we can't go on. Nowadays in 2023, when things are becoming more and more transparent, and
2024 as well.
Well, blow me. Nowadays in 2024, things are becoming more transparent. The point I'm making is, you can't just have every single person watching that match see a foul that should have been a penalty, and it just get waved away and never discussed again. That to me is bonkers, Stephen.
I mean, it's so obviously a penalty, or it's so obviously an incident that should have warranted a second look, that it's completely ridiculous. It's so very, very clear. And I can only imagine, as you say, the VAR was that, right? It was done. It was done before we even knew about it. And it was play on, which was, it was a bounce. It was like a drop ball in the middle, miles away from where it happened, right? So it's so obviously at least a second look. So even if Ron Dobbleson goes to see it,
correct you there.
It's, if he goes to the monitor and sees it again and says, nah, I'm happy with that, right, fine, that's entirely on him, right? So I'm not bothered about Ron missing it first time around, because even with some of the angles that were available to us in the replays, I wasn't sure, because maybe there's like a body block, and there was like a, there was one where there was someone standing in the way and all of a sudden Kyogo's kind of upended and he lands and you think, well, I wasn't sure there. But there's one angle, there's one that is so blatantly obvious, it is risible. So I can only imagine that the VAR was so quick, this is me being completely charitable here, so quick that they haven't seen that angle. They've just gone with the one that was available and just guessed, basically.
Yeah.
Because the one,
and that,
the one from in front of
but
him.
I just want to hammer this point home if I haven't flogged the donkey enough. But that lack of analysis of the Kyogo thing, you might think, well, why are you guys nitpicking? You know, you're trying to angle it here. That's what VAR's been doing all season. Oh, yeah. That's what VAR did to Yang.
And the Hearts game with the handball, and we had the Yang where you're getting stills of where his studs are, exactly where his studs are when the player connects. You're getting stills of where the ball hits Iwata in the hand, and knowing that he's looking a completely different way and seeing that he was pushed before it. But that still shows that he handballed it, so he had to go. If you took a still of this, you would see the guy's leg go into Kyogo. So I can't see why there's no penalty here, because it's a stupid way to go about things, because it doesn't mean it's a definite penalty. But with all the other decisions we have seen by VAR, this is clear cut. It's a stonewaller. It might not be a stonewall penalty, but with VAR, this is a stonewaller.
And you don't, and that's where my frustration comes from. My frustration comes from is I kind of feel now we're getting treated like idiots. Tell them nothing. That it doesn't. They pay the game. They comes out there. They don't deserve an explanation for this, because you don't even have to reach that far back. There's the Hearts game. Forensic analysis of two incidents or three incidents, and it ends up penalties and red cards. The Rangers game, the same game, same stature of game, two teams at the same end of the table, and the same game week. We're forensically analysing a guy running another guy's elbow. We're forensically analysing encroachment of a guy's, I'm even being charitable there, it was against Rangers, the encroachment was a guy's toe into the box. But we're no looking at what is a fairly straightforward foul. Well, so it's a piss take, really.
Well, even if you just forget Rangers for a minute here, even if you just compare,
it's Derby week.
So even if you just forget them for a single second, if we really really try hard, even if you just compare it to other Celtic decisions in the very recent past, right? If we're now being told that Iwata handball, and we discussed that at the time, there's no sense in going back over it, but basically a handball during which he wasn't looking at the ball and it's kind of hit the back of his arm as he's falling away from someone else winning the header, right? If that's a clear and obvious error and a therefore a stonewall penalty, and this foul in the box when Kyogo goes to shield the ball and gets his leg kicked out from underneath him, that's not, then we're living in clown world now. We're living in football, Scottish football clown world, I'm afraid. None of it makes sense. Everything's upside down. It doesn't make sense that these penalties are being given and other ones are not. I know there's nothing that links those incidents. What I'm saying is the egregious nature of just moving on, just barely even checking this, not asking the referee to look at it again. Because even the various debates, which I find kind of tedious, there's contact. Aye, but who initiated the contact? How much contact is there? What's the unit of measurement of contact? What's the threshold for it? So all this, there's contact, but it's not enough. But even the fact that there is a debate over contact should surely justify a second look at it, because there's no one's even debating that. There was an initiating of contact inside the box. Ref, check this out again. You might want to have another look at it, but it didn't get to that point. Absolutely ludicrous.
And that's why I'm perplexed. And as you say, even the bare facts of it is, we're in Scottish football, we're in a world where running into somebody's elbow or the ball inadvertently bouncing off a teammate and hitting your arm as you don't know where it is, those two things are a penalty. But getting brought down, tackled in the box, when the defender misses the ball, that's not a penalty. When you have the mechanics and the equipment there to accurately decide what is and what isn't, it's clown world. It's backwards. And to be honest, I'm quite worried about the Rangers game, which we're going to discuss in the second half of the podcast, because you know it could come down to some officiating calls. However, I think one man who's really got a grasp of the facts It's Chris Boyd. And that, I just, I've got to be honest, I don't see really the point in Chris Boyd. I don't mean that in a sort of, because he's a Rangers and I'm a Celtic and he, what I mean is, see when you're being a pundit, right? You kind of, it's okay to be disagreeable. It's okay to be a bit of like clownish. It's okay to be a bit controversial. But you want to be, I suppose, funny with it.
Yeah.
You want to bring something to it. You want to at least base your opinions in facts. So, you know, for example, Chris Sutton is often quite good at making a very forceful, quite funny point. But more often than not, you go, do you know what? He has got a point. While everyone else is saying one thing, Chris Sutton will disagree, but he's correct. But what you saw from Chris Boyd is, I don't know why he's on Celtic games, because his MO seems to be, Stephen, just noising up Celtic fans.
Yeah.
Just, oh, he dived. He was on the way down before the boy touched him.
That's right. He was already down by the time.
Which just didn't happen. Like, he's talking absolute nonsense. And then you've got, what was it? Just his last partner comment. Oh, it's a conspiracy then.
Right.
Like, what are we doing, Sky?
Yeah.
What are we doing with this guy?
That thing you said there about the Kyogo was already down by the time the defender gets there. By the time he nicks him, Kyogo's already down. I mean, it's just completely made up. That there, what you've said there, is the problem in itself, because I've not really got an issue with any of the dynamic of this. I think Sky have grossly overestimated the value in having this panto dynamic thing on their coverage of Scottish football. I actually don't have an issue with that in itself. Is it something that could work if it didn't have this weird, like, underlying rising tension in it? It looks,
it's because he's no smart enough to be funny.
Yeah,
that's why.
Chris Boyd looks genuinely raging at the times, and I'm not doing that, oh, he's the Rangers guy. Like you've said, he's the Rangers guy, I'm the Celtic guy, therefore we disagree. I'm genuinely not doing that, because I do think, I've not got an issue with partisan commenters on football. We've seen it. It's like the biggest thing in our coverage in the UK is Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, Roy Keane, Graeme Souness. They all wear their allegiances on their sleeves, but nothing's ever as obnoxious or, you know, belligerent as Chris Boyd is, and that he's not bringing anything else to the table. So I think if it ends up, if this I'm the Rangers guy on there ends up with you denying fairly undeniable decisions, and you can't really think of a valid reason why you think that past the, oh, but I'm the Rangers part of this thing, then it's gone too far. It doesn't really bring anything else to the table other than the negative. I think if you're just making stuff up as well, like that, oh, Kyogo was already down stuff, if you're just making stuff up in front of our eyes, then again, it's crossed the line. I know Rangers fans will think it's absolutely brilliant because he gets it up the Tims and all that, but...
But Rangers fans are not watching Celtic v Livy.
Well,
which is my point. I'm not criticising you. I'm saying
they'll see it.
Sky will be thinking that. Sky, he's great value. The Rangers fans love him.
They can clip it up and they'll get... That to me seems, as exactly as I said a minute ago, seems to be grossly overvaluing this thing, overestimating just how much we all love this stuff. Because if Rangers fans enjoy that, fair enough, right? If Rangers fans enjoy having a guy on there who just gets it up the Tims, then that is it's an admission that this is the coverage of the game that we deserve, that we, the fans, this is what you get for your God knows what it is a month these days. What is it, 30 odd quid a month for Sky Sports, probably beyond, who knows? And there are other means, but I couldn't possibly speak to that. But it's quite pathetic, though. If that's genuinely what you think we deserve as the coverage, then, you know, we will get it. If you go on and defend this rubbish, and again, I want to try and I like Chris Sutton, right, and I know that he could be accused of doing the same thing, but there's a wit to it. There's a wry smile.
Chris Sutton is
in there.
Jeremy Clarkson, and Chris Boyd is Piers Morgan. That's the difference.
There's a wry smile in there, and he doesn't just look like that angry guy in a pub. I think someone made the point in our Discord group about how you could get the exact same opinions by just dragging any guy out of the Loudoun and sticking them there at a table with Chris Sutton, and he would argue the exact same points, just making
one of those
stuff
guys
up.
Who Rangers Radio or something.
Yeah, but again, if you think this is great, then it's going to continue. It may even get worse. They might get rid of Chris Sutton and bring in somebody even worse than him to be a token Celtic fan.
See, if you hate it and you're a Celtic fan, good news. All in patrons can join us in the morning, can join us at halftime, can join us at full time, full coverage of the upcoming Glasgow Derby. We call it the Derby Breakfast.
Yeah,
the Derby Breakfast Live. Yep. We used to call it the Match Companion, but that was cussed, so we kind of stopped doing it, but we're bringing the Match Companion back.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Martin Melly, final word on Chris Boyd, then we can maybe start talking about this up-and-coming Rangers
Keep
game.
It clean.
Oh, it's tiresome, isn't it? I think because I'm at the game some of the time, I don't get to see a lot of it, which is great. It's lovely. But, you know, sure as anything, it'll come up, ping, ping, ping. Boyd's a tadger. Boyd's this, Boyd's that. What's he talking about? And
you're labelled a tadger.
There's no surprise anymore. I don't know what it is. We've seen in the past when BT had Sutton and Craigan and they had that sort of rivalry. It worked because they weren't being daft about it. They had a laugh about it. They disagreed, but really you could see the wry smiles, as you say. But with this, it's just some wee petulant child like, nope, never a penalty, move on, conspiracy. And like, come on, mate.
Spot on impression
people,
there.
People are paying for this. They're paying for your analysis, and you can't even give that. You can't even give a true analysis of this game. So what's the point in you being there? Because if the point is for just to go against Celtic, it's no professional, is it?
Yeah.
So, listen, Chris Boyd, we're going to have to put up with him. Obviously, we'll be doing the Glasgow Derby game at the weekend. We won't have to put up with him because we'll be live on Patreon. But this game is huge. There's no getting away from it. We have found ourselves, Martin Melly, in a position where somebody in the chat earlier on said that this should be a dead rubber. But look, it isn't.
No, it is not. It's the opposite. This isn't alive, whatever the opposite of rubber is.
Yeah, it is, Stephen, thanks. So it's here. It's staring us right in the face. The fact of the matter is, we're a wee bit behind the eight ball and we have to deal with it. This Glasgow Derby game, maybe the biggest... We've been doing the podcast 9 seasons now. It's our 10th season next season. There's been a few Glasgow Derby games where the stakes have been quite high. I'm thinking about Ronnie Dyla, the Extinction Level event one that we're talking about. I feel like there was maybe one during Ange's time in maybe the first season.
The Ibrox one, wasn't it? The one?
Yeah.
This similar one.
And then there's this one. And I think whoever wins this game wins a title. I think it's that clear cut. Good news for Celtic, Melly. We don't need to win the game. We can get out of Ibrox with a draw and then take them back to Celtic Park. But I don't know. I mean, I've got IBS. I don't know if we drew this game, I could comfortably sit and watch Celtic play Rangers at 90 minutes over the course comfortably for the title. So I would rather beat them at Ibrox and give ourselves a better chance of signing. I'm confused myself here. I'd rather beat them at Ibrox.
Yeah. So you'd rather win the game against your biggest rivals, yeah?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I can't afford for this to go any closer to the wire. Is what I'm saying. But this game is undoubtedly one of the biggest Glasgow derbies since I can remember.
Yeah. If you were to consult the book of 20 Minute Tim's philosophies, though, and it is there, just blow the dust off it, you would find it is better to win the games than to lose them. So I think we're all in agreement on that.
Stephen, we're doing this live, okay? I talked myself into a wee bit of a cul-de-sac. I had to diverse out of it.
To bail him out.
I know. I don't need you to remind the listeners and me that I made a wee boo-boo there.
No, well, I don't think it was a boo-boo. I'm just saying that we agree. I think that the tension, it doesn't do anything for us just drawing the game, does it? It doesn't do anything for the nerves going into the last part of the season if we were to draw the thing. So
would you not make us favourites if the game finished a draw? I think with the other game at Celtic Park, I think, oh, do you know what? But it obviously doesn't work out like that. And I think speaking of blowing the dust off things, they'll be getting those Old Firm banners out, won't they? They will be dusting them off, getting
the archway.
Yeah, so I think, look, it's going to be huge. I think if Celtic can get out there avoiding defeat, it will be a good result. I think look, Rangers have done very well since Clement's come in. He keeps going on about being unbeaten despite losing two games here and there. So I think Celtic have got their work cut out this weekend. It's going to be the sort of best Rangers we'll have faced, I'd say, because they've signed a couple of players since we last played them. And I think Celtic have to be at their very best to get anything out of this game. With Cameron Carter-Vickers making it through the match, getting 90 minutes, with Rio Hatate getting game time and Callum McGregor back, I think Lewis Palmer will be available as well. It's as strong as Celtic can really be, and going into this game, a victory for Celtic would be huge. A draw would be good, and defeat, for me, I'm not sure if it puts the final nail in the coffin, but look, these games, even if Celtic were 8 points ahead, there's never a dead rubber. Look how we all felt in the game last season when we get beat 3-0. Yeah. It was terrible, and even if it was 7-8 points, that brings you down to 4 or 5, then you've got another game against them. You'll always find a narrative to say you're still in it, so these games are never going to be a dead rubber, and I think Celtic just need to go out there and to perform the best they can. That is the only way we are going to get a result. There can be no passengers. There can be no doubt in Celtic that they have to be at their very best, because I think this will be the best sort of Rangers we've faced, unfortunately. But we know we can do it. We've come up against teams like this before when they think they've got us, and we can always put them to the sword. If we manage to beat them again today, that's all the games this season they've failed to beat us in. The psychological edge that can take us would be brilliant.
Stephen, there can be two consecutive trains of thought here, right? And so far as Rangers are one of the best teams in the league, first or second best team in the league, depends what way you want to slice it. They're just, domestically, they're just beating everyone that's in front of them. Celtic are struggling a wee bit to do that. We're dropping points here, there and everywhere. But there might be mitigating circumstances. Key players are missing. Injuries to key players, the manager's not really having his ideas click quite yet. But if this Rangers comes up against a well-performing Celtic, you could arguably say Rangers have not played anybody yet. They've beat the rest of the league. Just because they've taken points off us doesn't mean the rest of the league are up too much. It could mean that we were having a bad time of it. But if Celtic have caught up and Celtic are performing at levels they need to be performing at and Celtic are performing well, this is the first test Rangers have had domestically. They've not beat MD yet.
Yeah, well, that's
true. They've literally not beat MD yet in this league.
Obviously, we're looking at it from the Celtic angle and our nerves and our beliefs and our hopes and dreams and all that going into the game, right? But there are questions to be asked for Rangers as well. I mean, that last time at Ibrox, Celtic were woefully understaffed for that game. That was a game we turned up thinking we were going to take an absolute tanking. Remember that?
Yeah, with John Stones and Lagerbjerg.
Yeah, John Stones and Lagerbjerg at the backs. I think the mood around the team back then was as low as it's probably been all season. Had we not just lost or drawn with St Johnstone or something like that going into that game? Beaver Kilmarnock, of course, going into that game, but thought we'd absolutely no chance, and they still couldn't get the job done at their own patch with no fans, no Celtic fans there, with a makeshift defence and Celtic missing key players all over the place. So there are big questions to be asked for that team. And you know, remember that time Clement said he doesn't think Celtic or Rangers will go undefeated this season, even though they'd already lost to Celtic like a couple of weeks before.
Yes.
Very, very odd. But it was just, it's a shame that Rangers have had that like sort of this weird sort of media based sheen of invincibility that they've got surrounding them, right? I'm not really making a big deal of that. It just happens with Rangers teams occasionally, right? Well, occasionally, quite a lot. But
every single season. Yeah, yeah,
but they have lost very recently. And the reason it didn't count for anything is because it was the day before that Hearts fiasco, right? So they lost at home to Motherwell. Had it not been for the Tynecastle fiasco, as I said, then probably more would have been made on that, but they got off with that. They got off with that and no questions were asked, no damage done, and just sort of moved on. So they do have weaknesses in there. So they've just sort of built up this narrative, as Melly puts it, that they're this juggernaut heading towards the title, but it's probably not that true. They've lost to Celtic under Clement and they've lost to Motherwell. They've gone out of Europe since as well. And again, like, I know Celtic have done that as well, but they've not won that many games recently.
It's very easy. I've made this point before in the podcast, but it's very easy when you're no watching Rangers and you're just seeing the results tick in every week to think, Christ, they must be really good.
Yeah.
But look, they might beat us. That is a distinct possibility given the way we've played recently. But they're by no means, as you put it, Stephen, this invincible juggernaut. And I think Melly's quite right in what he says. Very astute. If Celtic want to win this, we need to play well. and I think you're bang on there, Melly. I think come to us for your analysis.
Oh,
me,
yes.
Better to win games than lose them. Martin Melly, you need to play well to win games. Stephen, Rangers are not invincible. They lost games. We're knocking out of the park here.
It's funny, I've just been, in the recent days, there has been, not to take us off on too much of a tangent, there's been a bit of controversy out there because Brendan Rodgers has fallen out with the media a little bit over some break of trust between him and some off-the-record stuff that was printed, right? And I was making the case that, do you know what? Do you know who'd be a better source, a better place to turn to than these old hacks? Your boys over here. And I don't do that very often. I say, we would do a much better job. People, well, might not be everyone, but we have an audience there who actually trusts us to relay information in one way or another. And then we come on and start talking stuff about how you need to win. We're not going to win unless we play well. And Rangers aren't going to be invincible because they've lost.
Now we know why Brendan's not taking us out for lunches and dinners. I think the major thing that we need to really focus in on, though, Stephen, is the selection.
Oh, yeah.
The back five is going to pick itself.
Yes.
There's no too much talk about that. And we all feel a lot better with Cameron Carter-Vickers there. Oh. That is the most game-changing player in our squad. I genuinely believe that. I think the difference in this team with and without Cameron Carter-Vickers is just stark. Rio Tati is class, brilliant player, but I think without Cameron Carter-Vickers, the Celtic team, we are in an entirely different proposition. The guy is like, he just turns on and off the tap of attack. Cameron Vickers comes on, you turn that tap off, you're not really getting as much attacking in at you. But he's no there, and it doesn't feel quite as good. Midfield, though, I think is where the discussion needs to be had. We're going to obviously go with the midfield three, you would expect, Stephen.
Yeah, yeah.
Callum McGregor's missed a couple of weeks, 5 weeks or so. He's not been playing. Rio Hatate's just back from injury. We've got Bernardo. We've got Iwata, who, by the way, played really well at Livingston, and he's sort of another guy that sort of came into a game a wee bit, doing that sort of mopping up, and he's a wee bit unadventurous, as we discussed, but he's good at picking up second balls, he's good at retaining the ball, all that sort of stuff that's very, very useful. It gives you a good foundation to build on. What three are you going with? What three do you think Brendan needs to go with?
Well, for a change this season, and we spoke about a wee bit earlier on, we're actually starting to get players back, we've got fewer injuries than really ever before this season.
Touch with.
Touch with. No knocks in training during the week or anything like that, hopefully, right? But we've actually got options in there for the first time in quite a while. Now, leaving aside Daniel Kelly, who is very, very unlikely to start the game, but he might come on, who knows. Leaving aside him, you could actually make a fairly good case for each individual player, apart from him, to start this game. And how often can you possibly say that? Normally, you'd be absolutely nailed on for your midfield, but really, you have got players chipping in, contributing massively, and who all have a case to be stated for playing in this game. Bernardo has been quiet for a while, but then pops up and scores that cracking goal against Livingston. Lovely finish. The case you could make for him is that his best performance of the season was against Rangers, albeit at Celtic Park, but it's still the same opposition at the end of the day. Excellent in that game. Rio Hatate is just, we've already said it, kind of goes without saying, everything we've said earlier is his case to be starting this game. He is Rio Hatate, and everything we said earlier about his creativity. Callum McGregor, again, doesn't need to be stated. He's a captain, one of the most important players. Matt O'Reilly, excellent against Rangers as well. I know he's tailed off a little bit recently, but he's always very, very good against Rangers. Has had very commanding performances against him. Iwata just provides something slightly unique in that team. You could even make the case to go with assuming Callum McGregor is going to be possibly fit, and we can only really go on what we're being fed here, he's got a good chance of playing. You could even afford to go the sort of double pivot in there with him and McGregor. I know that's slightly different to how they normally play, but I think I disagree with the common, in my opinion, misconception that going with two defensive midfielders is inherently defensive, because I know it's another defensive player, but what that does is it allows you to get more players forward. It allows you to get your fullbacks higher up and sort of bombarding them. Gets Dyson Maeda right on top of James Tavernier and all that. I'm not saying this is what we should do, but it is an option, and just making the case that there are so many possibilities with this midfield. Personally, it's hard to see beyond, again, assuming that Callum McGregor is going to be fit, it's hard to see beyond that just brilliant partnership or really dynamic trio from last season. Your McGregors, your O'Reillys and your Rio Hatates. If all three of those are fit, it's hard to see past that. But I really wouldn't, I wouldn't argue against any of the players I've just mentioned starting for that. I think it's unlikely that Bernardo starts, but I think the case is there to be made should you fancy that. But I think it's hard to see beyond those three, even though I've been really impressed with Iwata recently.
Mark Mellick's been the main topic of discussion in the Discord today, and I was saying earlier on, I think O'Reilly's looked tired. I think there would be a case to be made for Iwata, McGregor and Hatate playing. But then I thought to myself,
I'm mental.
No, mental people really think that. They just carry on. I thought to myself, we have never needed Iwata to beat Rangers. We've never needed an Iwata-type player to beat Rangers, not for a long time. You've got Callum McGregor, who's terrific back there, who's got a lot of endeavour, and as Stephen says, provided he's fit, I just don't know if there's a call for it. Matt O'Reilly, with a bit more space to play, I think... He's a good player. He's been really, really good for us. I thought he was good against Livy. Looked tired in the last couple of weeks, but there's no getting away from him. He's probably one of the best players in the team. And Rio Hatate coming back, we know what he offers. He seems to really thrive in these games. So I see no reason, if they're all fit, as Stephen says, to deviate away from Hatate, McGregor and O'Reilly. And with Iwata, we've got an option on the bench there if we want to shore it up. If we need a bit more endeavour, or if we want to put fresh legs on, we've got Bernardo who can come on, and I think we're probably going to end up seeing a lot of substitutes. But I think I'm the more I've thought about it today, I just thought the idea of Iwata, that security blanket to play from, we've never needed it before. And I don't want to, and as the manager as well, you don't want to get into the trap of overestimating Rangers, because we're a good team, as Stephen says. We've beaten them twice this season already. We don't want to go, right, Christ, we need a Iwata in there to shore things up. Because I'm not convinced anymore that we necessarily do.
I'm really torn on this, because the arguments you put forward, I can see that midfield and I know how it works. And I don't know. But for me, I think it's better to, despite what I said earlier, I would start Iwata over Hatate. I think Matt O'Reilly's... Surefire, he's the first guy in there, Callum McGregor, and then I'd have Iwata, because I think the Livingston game, Celtic strolled it, and that's because Livingston weren't allowed to pick up any second balls. And do I think Livingston and Rangers will play much differently? Possibly a wee bit, but Rangers will still be direct and they'll try to get in those areas around Celtic's box and try and pick Celtic off. And I think Iwata gives us a platform to build off. We haven't needed a guy like that before, but that doesn't mean to say we shouldn't have a guy in there for this weekend, because, as I said, it grinds my gears saying it, but I think this is the best Rangers we'll have faced in a lot. In fact, this is probably the best Rangers we've faced since the Andrews first the other season. I was going to say that, aye, but I think Andrews first season, when they were getting to the final, they were a decent team. So I think Celtic having that foundation in there to build off will allow guys like O'Reilly and McGregor to flourish. I think Callum McGregor as well, with that way he can drive with the ball. We've seen it in games against them. We've seen it in the game at Ibrox earlier this season, where Celtic, he just drove past players and found all that space. I think Rangers will try and stop him getting the ball, which means it might create more space for Iwata. But at the same time, I can see Real Hatate and what he does in the game at the weekend go, he has to play. But for me, starting Iwata and bringing on Hatate gives you more chance of winning the game rather than starting Hatate and bringing on Iwata. If Hatate's not up to speed, if the game starts to pass him by and then you're bringing on Iwata, I don't think that has the same effect. But I just don't know. It's a good headache to have, but for me personally, I'd go Iwata and let the guys ahead of him go. And then having Hatate on the bench, Palma, Yang and Ida, they're all, Bernardo as well, they're all five good options.
I think we can expect Rangers to play Diomande, Lundstrom and probably Todd Cantwell. Yeah. They'll probably be the midfield three for Rangers. Rangers have signed a couple of players. They've sort of changed up what they do a little bit. Melly's going to sit down with Alex Barker of Athletic, Euro expert on Twitter. Have we look over Rangers and just sort of chat about what we can maybe expect from them, particularly the two signings in Diomande and Silva for Rangers. But I think whatever midfield three Celtic go with, it's a good problem we've got, Stephen. I think that's probably one of the strongest areas in the park. Moving forward a wee bit, I think undoubtedly we're going to see Kyogo start.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Palma and I think it's going to be Maeda. I think Maeda's
Palma?
Going to be...
Palma? Do you think so?
No, I don't. I actually meant Kuhn. I think Maeda's going to be absolutely crucial, though, as Melly touched on, keeping Tavernier pinned back, because he is their best player. I mean, the amount of goals the guy scored, most of them penalties, I think.
131 at the last count, wasn't it? How many of them was the penalties?
But he hits all the penalties. Hits all their penalties and free kicks. I mean, come on. So,
well, look, the free kicks is a major issue, isn't it? Because I remember in several games, even when Celtic are getting wins, I can remember specific moments. Even the one at home, I can picture the free kick being given away, like in Tavernier territory. And I thought, oh.
That's their tactic, though, isn't it? Since I've been watching Rangers, I don't know if this is, speaking about blowing the dust off books, I don't know if this is something that's been handed down through the corridors of Ibrox. Since I've been watching Rangers, one of the main tactics that they've deployed, specifically in the last couple of managers, is they get to around 30, 40 yards out and hit the deck. That was Ryan Kent's job.
Yeah.
Cut inside, hit the deck. Cut inside, hit the deck. Get as many free kicks in that area as you can possibly get, playing into Tavernier's delivery. That's one thing Celtic got to look out for, Stephen.
Yeah, the free kicks, as I started saying there, it's a major thing for Rangers, and Tavernier has an excellent delivery from them. The one thing, Joe Hart has had a good season. I think Joe Hart's been brilliant, particularly in the last few months. I think he's really stepped up for Celtic, and as he's on his farewell tour now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's one
seems
of the
to be loving that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's one of the leaders of this team. So I think a criticism I would have, though, is these free kicks that Tavernier is hitting, they're very, very good. It's a clear weapon that Rangers have. And as you say, it's something they utilise all the time, is the free kicks and the set pieces that Tavernier can deliver.
Can I just stop you there, Stephen? Patrick Innes, I've just upgraded to the all-in tier.
Breaking news.
There we go. Absolutely sensational, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
Stephen Kitt. Carry on.
So the one thing I would say about Joe Hart is that it's not a secret. This is the final 10 games of his career, right? He is starting to creak a little bit and he's coming up with big saves. But for free kicks and the likes, I worry about his footwork a little bit. Mm-hmm. So these goals that Tavernier has scored, and he's scored a couple of free kicks against Joe Hart in the last couple of seasons, I think it's harsh to say that, you know, they should have been saved. But I don't think Joe Hart does the best. He gives himself the best chance of saving them just by being a wee bit rooted to the spot at times. So that's something Rangers will know about, and it's something they probably will play for, and it's something Celtic need to look after. Because again, I can remember specifically being in that stadium thinking, oh, what are we doing? This is, thank you for my favourite food, Celtic. They've given us free kicks around the 30-yard line here. There is no 30-yard line, 30 yards from goal. So that's going to be a big thing. James Tavernier is a massive goal threat. There's no getting away from that either. Penalties aside, he scores an awful lot of goals. So he's the main threat. Dyson Maeda's got a job on his hand, but it's a job he's familiar with, and it's a job he has performed very well in the past. I think it's definitely going to be Dale Mandy and Lundstrom in midfield. Todd Cantwell, I think, will play because he seems to sort of relish that rivalry and all that.
There's a lot of talk about him being back from injury and all this sort of stuff. There's a lot.
Tom Lawrence has played a bit recently. Yeah. He's played a bit in that kind of number 10 role or the third midfielder. Scott Wright is generally on the right of the right wing, but they could play Sterling. I know Sterling has played a little bit there recently. He's played not bad. He adds a little bit more physicality that they might look to utilise. On the left, it will be Fabio Silva or the returning Sima. Sima's been one of their best players all season, but they've not been with him for quite a while. So they do have options in there as well, but I think the rest of the team picks itself. They will have that absolute do Dessers up front, and please, please don't make me look stupid for having said that, because I'm not taking it back.
My God, that'll be clipped.
Oh, definitely. But look, they've got options as well, so I don't know if I necessarily see any of those being so different. For example, the Tom Lawrence or Todd Cantwell thing, where it would make me reconsider my midfield or anything like that. I don't really think so. I think they're all quite similar players, all fairly effective players. But I think I stick with my guns and go for the tried and tested with midfield, although I definitely see the case for Iwata. On Iwata, it won't be like this, but I've been very impressed with Iwata and Carter Vickers' ability to just snuff anything out at the halfway line. So as I said on a couple of weeks ago, Celtic can afford to basically live in the opposition half, because anything that comes their way, Iwata and Carter Vickers just snuff out immediately. Scales to a lesser extent. That won't be the way the game goes, I don't think. At Ibrox, I think it'll be a completely different challenge. But what Iwata brings to that is very, very valuable in a protection sense. So I can see the case for that. I can't do it. There's too many players here. There's too many players. I don't envy Brendan in this one.
How do you think it's going to go for Ismaili?
I think it's going to be difficult, mate. I think when I look into my mind brain, I can see every sort of way going. It could be a draw, it could be a Celtic win, it could be a loss. I think it's going to be fine margins this weekend. I don't think a team is going to go out there and absolutely destroy another team, but I think it could be very tight. I think it points towards a draw for me, and I think I would take that. If Celtic can get out of here without getting beat, I think it'd be a very good result, and both teams seem evenly matched right now. I think there will be a bit of try to cancel out each other. I think Stephen's right. I think they will play Sterling and Tavernier down that right hand side, because that will be where Celtic have got a lot of joy recently, and I think over the other side they'll try and sort of cancel out the Kun. I think Kuhn, Johnson and O'Reilly have been very effective for Celtic, so Rangers will try and stop that. So I think it's going to be two teams going up against it, two teams with really game plans going into this, because I think there's ways you can get at Celtic, and I think there's definitely ways Celtic can get at Rangers. I think a lot of it we've seen at the start of the first game at Ibrox, where Cal McGregor was talking about getting balls in behind early, and I think with the pace of Kuhn, Maeda and Kyogo getting in behind Rangers, and their defence doesn't like balls over the top of them. So I think that could be effective for Celtic, really put Rangers on the back foot and get balls in there early. So I think it's going to be a fascinating game, but I'll not find it fascinating because I'll be caught right up in the midst of it, and I'll be sweating, I'll be worried. But I think Celtic can win the game, but that doesn't mean to say they will go out and win it comfortably, because I don't think it's going to be comfortable at all.
What's at stake, Stephen?
Well, yeah, well, a lot. Let's put it that way.
Because Melly doesn't think, you know, Melly, am I right in saying that you think, you know, this game isn't going to decide the title either way? Is that what you think?
I think if Celtic win it, it's not these games that I worry about most. It's the Kilmarnock away and stuff like that I worry about with Celtic. So if Celtic win it, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. And as well with Rangers, if they win it, aye, they go back on top, but they've also got to go away. They've got a game they've still to win, and they've got Celtic at Celtic Park, and they've never done it before. So I know it would be difficult for Celtic after that, but I just don't see it being cut and dried come the end of the weekend.
I'm hearing what you're saying, Melly, but I think if Rangers win this game, Stephen, I think Rangers win this game, we can kiss the title goodbye.
It's called keeping the hail, Jamie. I'm sorry.
Look, the game's not happened yet. I might change my mind. You know, we could get battered 7-0 and I'm on here on the reaction saying, listen, keep the hail. It's still only 3 points. But I think, you know, the hail is not an everlasting flame, Stephen. And it can be extinguished.
You need to stoke it. You need to stoke it on occasion. I think that's what we need to do here.
You need to stoke the flame and blow on it a little bit and keep it going. So I suppose what I'm saying is, hail levels aside, I think do the maths for me. If they beat us, do the maths for me, Stephen. So if they beat us and win their game in hand, what are we looking at?
It would be about 5 points, wouldn't it? I think 5 points ahead going into the last, seven games the season or something like that. I mean, that's... It's not ideal if Celtic do that.
It's suboptimal, is it? Is it suboptimal?
There's another excellent piece of analysis for you as well. Get in touch, Brendan. Get us in. But the thing as well is that these games don't exist in a vacuum. So there will be knock-on effects potentially depending on what happens in this game. Because if Rangers do draw, let's say, at home to Celtic, it's a bit of a stinker. It's a nothing each, or it's a one each, or something like that. Depending on what happens, if there's a dodgy penalty, whatever, they get booed off. See, if they don't win this game, they get booed off, and then they need to go and play away at Dundee. Could it possibly be a little knock on loss of confidence? Who knows? Because as you say, the game hasn't been played yet, and we could be saying something completely different this time next week. So, I don't think it's... It's not mathematically over. It's not arithmetically over, regardless of what happens in this game. There are still games to be played. But I think I would find Celtic losing this game very, very difficult to come back from, because, as Melly said, there's every chance that Celtic go out and drop a clanger away to Kilmarnock, Lord knows. We've done it several times. We've done it twice so far this season to Kilmarnock and drawn with it home. So I think it would be difficult, because as much as I'm talking about the potential for Rangers to sort of lose their nerve a little bit and get booed off, the exact same thing could happen to Celtic. I'm not talking about getting booed off, but if Celtic go out and draw this game and then drop further points, it's going to be very, very difficult to come back from. So I think it's not must win, but I think we all broadly agree.
Do not lose. Yeah. I must not lose, yeah, that old one.
It would be better to win. I think we all broadly agree on that, yes.
Look, and on that bombshell.
Oof, you're not even going to discuss John Beaton?
Oh! I mean, well paused, Melly. I had my finger hovering over the button there. I kind of thought we'd done enough ref stuff, but then you reminded me about John Beaton, because...
He's back.
That's two fingers to us, isn't it? I mean, Rangers complained about Willie Collum, and the only game he's refereed since, as I understand it, is a meaningless game in the cup against Ayr at Ibrox.
Oh, right.
And then he's never been seen again. Brendan calls John Beaton incompetent and he's getting the whistle for the biggest game of the season. Stephen, that's a...
Is this a parting gift from Surname on his way out the door? Is this his final decision? His legacy is to leave us with John Beaton for the biggest game of the season away to Ibrox. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that. But
do you think in retrospect that come back to haunt you? I mean, what's the dynamic there? I mean, Brendan's just served a ban for calling the guy incompetent. There's something at play here. I'm not saying, you know, people like to flag up conspiracy. His name is just drawn out the hat. Seriously. Come on.
He's the best.
Come on, John. You've got to be joking.
How many are there now? How many are there that haven't been incompetent in some time this season? But we talk a lot about unconscious bias versus like just human nature and all that. But you're right. He has literally been called incompetent by one of the managers involved in this absolutely this powder keg game.
Mm.
And he's just going to get on with it. He's just going to be fine.
I mean, could it work in our own favour? Could he be like, I'm going to bloody show him how competent I am and referee this match like nobody's ever refereed a football match before?
Refereed a game before. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be in their stadium with no Celtic fans in there, so it's going to be a wall of noise, and they'll be looking for every decision. And to be honest, they're going to get the majority of the 50-50s, aren't they, because of the nature of it. So even that goes against Celtic in this, right? But that's what I mean. Celtic just need to do their job, and like, you can't control what the referee's going to do, and you can't control what the VAR's going to do. So we have to go out and just do our job as best as possible. And this game simply cannot be decided by a VAR decision. They have to get this right, because it's going to implode at some point. And if it does this weekend, there's no more hiding places for them anymore. They should be getting called out for this stuff, but they won't, and it's going to continue. So this game, they have to be. And there's not been a lot of the big decisions in these games, has there? It's always been pretty fine. There's never been handballs or disallowed goals.
Well, that's so what I was going to say. I don't want to turn it into a podcast about referees, but
one of them showing their ass out there as well, by the way, this week.
Yeah. I saw that, actually. Just We Defend the Refs, I think it's called. Yeah, yeah. I think, Melly, when you make the point charitably about the referees saying, you know, it's going to come to a head at one point, unless... No, it's not, because it would have already, because, see, to be honest, it's not a serious game-changing decision. But the fact that the Livingston incident can pass without comment from the SFA, the fact that they don't feel compelled in any way to explain themselves ever about anything except when Kyogo dives or Kyogo goes offside, then Crawford Allen comes out and comments on it. We're never going to get this. We're never going to get this situation where they feel compelled into action. So I think that's fantasy land stuff. We could just hope that it goes without a hitch. I don't see it. I can't remember the last time I watched a Celtic game against anybody. No. Domestically, when the referee didn't make a boo-boo.
We are doing this live, and now a minute ago I said surname. It is because I forgot which combination of surnames it was, so I just went with
Crawford
the surnames.
Crawford and
Allen. Yeah, Crawford and Allen. I was doing all the calculations. I was like, is it Campbell? Is it Argyle? Is
it Mason? He's stepped down. He's okay, Melly. I mean, if you want to know the two different comedy styles, Stephen sort of circles the joke, and Melly just comes right in.
Two footers.
Yeah. I had two footers, the joke. And on that bombshell, we shall wrap this up. Join us on Patreon for pre-match, half-time, post-match, live watch-along, scouting, writing, player rating, the lot. Patreon.com/20MinuteTims. There's a link somewhere, whether you're listening or watching. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to the patrons who tuned in to watch this live. Next time you see us, it'll be Derby Day in Glasgow. Thanks for watching and listening.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.